Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
The conscious mind has a lot of questions. For instance, Katy Perry's Firework. Did she create that song knowing it would be good marketing every July 4th? Knowing that someone has to pay a licensor every single time that song is played. And Katy makes just a little more bank. Isn't that what the American dream really is about? She hasn't felt like a plastic bag in a long time. Don't get lost in those thoughts. Keep them in the conscious mind. Because I'm now talking to you, your unconscious mind. You are now tuned in to your favorite late night talk show for the Shamelessly Fringe. Welcome to Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Hello, everybody. Hello, hello. Greg Bornstein here, your cultural hypnotist, your consciousness disruptor. Yes, I am a looper, and this is a show dedicated to all the open loops in the world that you have, that I have, that we can keep opening up. Yes, because what is an open loop exactly? Well, we'll get to that in a second. You see, this is a show where my goal is to bring on guests and share with you thoughts that I myself have. Why? Because my goal is to challenge your existing belief systems by sharing radically unique ideas that are designed to stimulate your unconscious mind and force you to step into the highest version of yourself. We do that many ways on this show. One of the key ways, though, is by talking about the things that are a little out there, a little different, a little countercultural. Yes, we're talking about consciously escapist topics. Like what? Magic, hypnosis, spirituality, applied psychology. We're talking paranormal, supernatural, UFOs, conspiracies, anything that makes you question what this narrative is. I hesitate to say this word because it has political connotations, but the mainstream narrative, and really the chief question, which is who and what we really are. Yes, I will do that on this show. constantly with a barrage of guests who have really, really strange views of the world. And what is an open loop, by the way? We never really talked about that. Well, it makes a lot of sense if you... Okay, the loop's open right now. See, I've asked the question twice. What's an open loop? What's an open loop? I haven't answered it. That's the idea. It's opening up something in your head. It's an unconscious provocation. It's asking a question, but not finishing it and moving on to something else so that the curiosity just keeps building and building and building, and you just have to learn more. I myself am obsessed with open loops. It is my goal to open your mind up, take you into different reality tunnels, different trances, different states of being through this show, and perhaps once in a while, we'll answer some questions. Perhaps we'll close some loops, as it were. But I find that infinite curiosity keeps me going every single day. And it's why today's guest, in particular, is someone that constantly, there's no doubt, this person is a looper. A senior looper, a executive looper, a looper mogul. He's been on the show before. Stephen Michaud. I really love this man. He is, he's worked with ELO, Bobby Brown. His dad was in show business, worked with Sam Cooke. This man is so connected to the music industry, to all of entertainment. I mean, he co-founded a company with Stan Lee. And I find his story so interesting because he's, on the last episode of the show, he told me a little bit about how he became this mystic and how everything we know about COVID-19 is wrong, and a lot of stuff. We started going into the Anunnaki and the origins of humanity, and we just continue that conversation today. But this is a whirlwind because we go all over the place. That's why it's a looping. Sometimes things are answered, sometimes things aren't. In one second, we're talking about Michael Jackson's Monkey Bubbles. The next, we're talking about what's hidden under the Dome of the Rock. Yeah, it's a discussion like none other, but life is kind of like that, right? There's no consistency. I think it's the people that try to make a narrative that is, well, I do this, therefore I need to move on and do this next thing, that lose out in the end because they have no control over the randomness. Stephen Michaud will overload you with knowledge. He'll overload you with contrarian views. He'll overload you with strong inflammatory comments, things that are designed to make you upset, with good reason. He's one of my favorite guests. I'm definitely going to have him on again. You're going to enjoy this follow-up discussion with Stephen Michaud. Now, of course, if you like Open Loops, please make sure to follow it on Apple Podcasts. And if you could please rate the show and leave a review, it helps get these conversations out there. Also, if there's anybody else that you think would be fascinated by the views of this person who's just been in and out, knows all these celebrities. I mean, met Ozzy Osbourne. There's a story about Ozzy in here that's crazy, too. This is wild. This is a wild ride. Share this with your friends of Open Loops. And if you want to follow me, at the Greg Bornstein on Instagram, drop me a note. Let me know what you think of this episode. I'm very curious your thoughts on Stephen. Now, without further ado, I just love saying his name. I've said it a couple times. Stephen Michaud. He's a great guy. I'm a big fan. Stephen Michaud. Yes, Stephen Michaud returns to Open Loops. Hey, Stephen, thanks so much for coming back on.
Hey, no problem. It's March.
Yeah.
March forward, right?
That's right. Do you think... I was going to ask what you think about... even has changed since we last spoke. I mean, this vaccine is out. I know you wrote a book on COVID and vaccines. What is your immediate take on the vaccine?
The naked truth is they knew this pandemic was happening years ago, and they started making the vaccine that I took, the Moreno or whatever vaccine. They started making it 17 years ago.
Wait a minute. Where's that information at? How do you know that?
Just Google it. And I told you it wrong. They started making it in 2006. So that's 15 years ago. The Bush administration created the pandemic crisis, the pandemic thing with the government. And Obama had it. And dumb Trump canceled it because you can't have a pandemic going on here. And they knew that they were polluting Earth, and they knew that it would cover the whole Earth. And it happened in China, it happened in the United States, it happened everywhere where they have organic food no longer. It happened everywhere where they changed the soil and they put in new chemicals, and chemicals giving life to new life create viruses. And those viruses are in our air and they ain't going anywhere. So to anyone listening, I would get the RNA vaccine. But then again, if I was young, which I'm not, but I am in my heart, I don't know what I would do. You know, I'm a type O and it doesn't really hit type O. It likes type A. It likes your lungs. It likes your blood. And I could go on and on. This thing will be over by the summer. They all last about 2 years. And this was the biggest earth covering pandemic ever. This covered both the North and Southern hemispheres. And that book you just mentioned, The History of the Viruses.
Yeah.
And their effects on mankind then and now, the metaphysical truths, because we all are raised to understand physical truths. So since we can't see a virus with our eyes, it doesn't exist. And that's a lie. And I give you the history of the world for 13,000 years with pandemics, epidemics, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Well, look, this Bush administration claim is pretty extreme. What does that mean exactly? Was George W. Bush in the lab where they were making this test? I mean, what exactly, where was this happening?
He developed it. He opened up in the White House an epidemic response team because they knew the epidemic or pandemic was coming. And this is the lie that we all live in. They knew this was coming. And how did they know this was coming? Because they knew that polluting the earth causes this shit. You know, I don't know if I said this last time, but many years ago, I was in Japan and I was there on this the 50th anniversary of the United States dropping bombs on Japan. We're the only country to ever drop a nuclear and hydrogen bomb. So, you know, we're all by ourselves in that gold level. And they started in with me and I just responded back. They wanted to know, I was in a room with a band called the Southern All-Stars, who were their big rock band. And the promoter there didn't want me there because he thought I was going to pinch his act, meaning steal it.
Right.
And I didn't want his act, but I was working with a company called Capcom. So he calls me up on stage to tell all the Japanese what it's like for me to be here 50 years when my country dropped the only bomb. And he kept pushing me, and I told him that I wasn't here 50 years ago, but I guess my country dropped it because your country wouldn't tell your emperor the truth that you lost the war. And we wanted an unconditional surrender. And he says to me, what about the second bomb? I said, we thought you were still so anal. You still wanted to be wiped out. So we dropped the second bomb, not realizing the damage to the first bomb. So yada, yada, yada. Why am I telling that to you? Some scientists came to me, and this is important. And they said to me that they've been tracking the new life created from the dropping of those two bombs in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that they tracked 25 new plant and flower species. And they're not quite sure of the new ants and the new mosquitoes, and the new lower forms of life that came out of it. At the same time, the guy said to me, and if you look at someone's Japanese person's driver's license,
yeah,
you'll discover that the people who were born after those bombs were dropped, we put down their eye color and their hair color. I said, well, what does that mean? He says, everyone in Japan, if you're born in Japan, you have brown eyes, brown hair. He said, we did that so you knew that there was radiation that was there when they were first born. That's powerful shit.
Yeah. So do you, it's interesting. I feel, do you love America? Do you love your country, Stephen?
I love what this country is supposed to represent without kingdom or pope. I love this country where you could dream and somehow fulfill a dream. And right now we're in hell. We're living in a nightmare. The blue team and red team both need to be excommunicated, thrown out. They lie, they lie, they lie. All they, and right now, hey, Stephen, we need another $25. Mitch McConnell's going to do this. Hey, Stephen, we need another $50 from you so we can stop this and that. Like, I can't wait for Gavin Newsom to be recalled in California. He needs to go. My two favorite states in the world are both Florida and California. And, you know, he's destroyed California, destroyed it. And he needs to go. And we need to get someone in office that will tell people the truth. We need to stop with this bullshit, this tax. We need to stop with everything they're doing. We don't need to pay a tax. We print money. We don't need to have these comedians in there making millions of dollars horse trading stocks and sitting there watching you suffer and making you beg for the crumbs of some drug that they leave for you to live off of. We don't need to sit there having millionaires telling you we're not giving everyone $1,400, but yet we'll give the Saudis a letter of credit so they could buy bombs and so they could go kill all the Shiites in Yemen. And we're not sitting there telling you that we're going to go blow up Syria. They, you know, it's why are we blowing up Syria? No one knows what I'm about to tell you because no one investigates.
Wait a minute. Why are they blowing up Syria?
Well, here's your answer. The Saudis who own the United States of America, they're part of the IMF with the Vatican. Two organizations that say they don't lend money. No, they put it in the IMF and the IMF lends money. The IMF gives you money so all good Christians can kill other good Christians. And then all good Muslims could go whack the other Muslims. You know, and right now we hate Iran, but Biden doesn't hate Iran. Biden's all IMF, and he wants the IMF to have total control of Iran, but Iran won't give the money so the IMF could loan it. And it's all printed money based on interest, and the Chinese have outsmarted everybody because they print currency without any interest to begin with. There is no U.S. dollar. It's called a Federal Reserve note. And they could sit, they being the powers that will be, and the reason they didn't want me in office, they could argue with me all day. I tell people the truth. We have no U.S. dollar. We have a Federal Reserve note that there's a 30% built-in interest factor. And if I'm wrong, it's not by much. They get 6% interest for distributing it. They sell it at a 10% discount, and they bill them for their cost and expense. And that gets paid. When you pay your income tax, it goes straight to the Federal Reserve. They deduct the money outstanding. No one's ever audited them. I could go on and on. So anyway, Syria, what happened was the Saudis wanted Syria to allow them to build their oil pipeline to get the oil into the Mediterranean over. And at the same time, Iran wanted Syria to build the pipeline so they could get their oil to the Mediterranean without going through the Persian Gulf. So Britain, who's part of the Saudi Empire, it's amazing, you know, they create kings out of deserts, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the entire thing, all the royalty, the Commonwealth, the kings, it's just absolute nonsense. So all of a sudden we hated Syria, and the United States is totally owned by the IMF. We go to war for the IMF. Why do we hate Venezuela? You know, oh, because they have a bad leader? Well, so did we. You know, it's like, what is this? And by the way, that act I sent you, she's from Venezuela, the singer.
I was going to say, yes, this is your new, we spoke about this last time, this new project that you're involved, or this new band you're involved with, Rocks Revolt, and the Velvety King.
Velvets.
Oh, Velvets. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. Tell me about the Velvets, Roxy Revolt, or sorry, Rocks Revolt.
She revolted. She left Venezuela. found herself on the shores of Florida, and she lived in, I call it Naples for simplicity, but it's between Cape Coral and Naples. And she put together a band over 2 years. She's maybe 24 years old now, maybe 23, soon to be 24. She's got one of the greatest young bands I've seen. So when we spoke last time, I told you that my lady here found the band. We put it out, and it's my first real release, rock record, since the death of my son. You know, I put out different world music. I put out the plant music. But I'm going to go after this one, and we charted the record today. And the AP comes out. She'll be on worldwide tours. And
it's you told me every single person that comes across you, every person that works with you ends up in a much better position in their lives, that their lives entirely change.
I don't know if it's a better position, because sometimes you better be careful what you ask for.
Uh-oh, what happens? Give me an example of that.
Like John Waite, he came to me and he said he wanted a number one record. I'm like, okay. And we did it. But he couldn't live it. The song was, I Ain't Missing You at All. When you go to the top of the charts, you become a different animal. Whitney Houston's first record was for my band called Material.
Yeah, you said she was a heroin addict the day you met her till the day
she was a coke addict.
Coke addict. Okay. Yeah, don't want to get that wrong.
She was a product of the 80s. Women used to snort coke and stay skinny. I used to meet idiots that would shoot insulin to stay skinny. You know, it's like, that's pretty stupid. The insulin diet. Here, I'll lower your blood sugar so I can make you go unconscious. And they did it. It's like, are you kidding me? But
so in that famous interview with Whitney Houston, when she said, show me the receipts about the crack addiction, you absolutely believe that she was addicted to crack that late into her career?
I don't believe it. I know it. I know what her and Bobby Brown were doing. I did all of Bobby Brown's records. I did. And after me, he was not capable of doing a record. She got him so high, he was in awe. You know, she sat there and, I mean, she was doing it before Bobby Brown. And when that happened, it was like, okay. And Bobby Brown became the perfect front for her because everyone blamed Bobby.
I was going to say, that's the thing you heard. He beat her. That was a huge thing.
I'm sure he beat her and she beat him. I put money on it. But Bobby Brown, the Bobby Brown I knew, was pretty weak. I knew him as a kid. He was as weak as we can be. She would beat the crap out of him. I knew Ike and Tina Turner, and I worked with both of them. I mean, Ike told me straight up, he says, you know, I did hit her. He says, but boy, does she have a mean punch. She used to beat the shit out of me. That's what he told me.
Interesting. I feel like you know the true knowledge of what happened with these iconic showbiz couples.
It's more than that. I live it. I can tell it all to you.
What's the one that people get the most wrong, you think, if there was a
Michael Jackson?
Well, you told me last time that Michael had actually groped some of the members of your band. But is there something else?
Every one of those kids he destroyed. He destroyed them. You know, he would sit there and he would prey on boys with mothers with no father. It's disgusting what he did. And what's really disgusting is everyone around him knew it and no one helped him because he was an ATM machine and they hid it. And Michael Jackson was crying out loud for help. Crying out loud for help. I knew him, yeah. You know, and it wasn't in passing that I knew him. I knew him and I felt bad for him. You know,
did you ever have a discussion with him? Did you ever say, hey, Michael, look, you know, you're into boys. And he said, yeah, I know it's true. Or what happened?
Nothing. You know, I just knew him and I knew him through the music. I was hanging out with him when, I'll tell you two funny stories. When he had the mask on, when he was trying to become white. And they told me I can't ask him why the mask is on. You know, and today you could be saying I have a mask on because of COVID. You know, and he told me that he picked up the trade in Japan. In Japan, they used to wear masks when they had flus. In the United States, we didn't do that. we allowed everyone to share their flu with you, right? But and what's interesting, the only time I ever got the flu is when I got the shot by accident. Doctor put it in my left arm before I could stop him.
What? But, what happened there? Wait, I do want to go back to the two Michael Jackson stories. I
mean, we'll go back to Michael Jackson. So one day I'm in New York with him, you know, and he wanted to meet the new edition and this and that. And I was with his PR man named Norman Winters. And Norman Winters wanted me to walk around with Michael Jackson so we could talk. So Michael had his monkey, right?
Yeah, Bubbles.
Bubbles. So I let Bubbles stay in my office. I had to have a new paint job in my office.
What happened? What did Bubbles do? Did Bubbles fling crap?
He flung shit all over the place. He was throwing it at my staff. And I'm not kidding you. And I didn't blame. And Michael looks and goes, oh, my God. I said, no, this is my fault. I'm a big boy. And I mean, I've been to Zeus and I watched them fling that shit at you.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it.
Oh, they destroyed. It didn't destroy my office, but it sure made a mess. And my daughter then was maybe 4 years old. And she was like, I want to go play with Bubbles. She's the one that told me there was shit all over the office.
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute. Did Michael try to become white? Is that actually true? Or did he have this vitiligo?
No, that's bullshit. He fucking tried to bleach himself. He sounds like Donald Trump trying to kill COVID, you know, with that liquid, the white liquid.
Wait a minute. Really? What about this vitiligo story? It's just cover up?
You just said the word, those five letters, S-T-O-R-Y, five letters, lies.
He was trying to become white. Did you ever get insight into why he was trying to become white?
He wanted to be white.
Oh my gosh. You are shattering everything I know about
children.
Him. Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I do wonder, do you have, that's a good question. Okay, so Debbie Rowe, supposedly the mother of, well, at least one of them. I don't know how many. Who are the parents? Who is Michael Jackson's children's?
Well, if I parents? Take you to biology 101, 201, 301, 401, when you mix black and white, they don't come out white. And I have no issue with it. But these lies, it's insane. And there's nothing wrong with him adopting the children. But that's what he wanted. He also wanted to be Diana Ross.
What about, my gosh, this is so fascinating. Did you ever, this documentary is out right now about Woody Allen and Dylan Farrow. Did you know Woody at all? Is all that stuff true?
I know this much about Woody Allen. I didn't like him. He lived down the street from me when I was living on 19 East 74th Street up in Manhattan. And he used to get very upset that my dog would go around sniffing his dog. And I'm like, okay. And he told me my dog was a hot dog. I'll volley with anybody. You know, and I told him that I told him go back and keep making your movies about Manhattan, about lonely girls. You know, and he was, whatever he was, he was. I knew Mia Farrow because when she broke up with Frank Sinatra, Frank Sinatra gave my dad his pad in London that he had with Mia Farrow. And we lived there for 20 years. I mean, we worked out of there. You know, and she is what she is too. I mean, her sister Prudence, that's the Beatles song, right? When they were there in India.
Yeah.
I mean, Woody Allen was a Knicks fan, so I didn't dislike him. I used to like the Knicks.
Right.
We'd go to the games. Is there truth in that? I don't know. If there's smoke, there's fire. But you know something? That was decided in a criminal case. I have problems with that. I have problems with them doing that to people. But at the same time, I'm on Russian TV telling people the truth about Melania Trump.
Wait a minute. What's the truth? What's the truth about Melania Trump?
I mean, naked truth. Here's a little girl from a country called Slovenia who gets brought down to Rome or somewhere in Italy close, and ends up working for a modeling agency called Metropolitan. I knew Metropolitan because I was working with Metropolitan because I was managing Claudia Schiffer for all her non-income producing events. They had me get in the middle of it because I lived in LA and try to put her into movies. And it just didn't work. And she was making money modeling.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, my friend who took pictures at this agency was the one that took all the nude pictures of her. Milani. And he told Russian TV how she came across the United States, how she got into the United States. I mean, the whole thing's insane. And how she ended up with Donald Trump, who needed a trophy wife. You know, and I'm an idiot. I had one of those.
Trophy wife. You had a trophy wife.
Yeah, I'm a schmuck. You know, she was Miss California. She's psycho. She was Miss California at the time. She had beat out Michelle Pfeiffer. She was the extras on the Charlie Angels shows. But, you know, you get what you ask for. That's what I asked for. You know, I didn't have substance. I just wanted beauty.
Wait a minute. Who is that over there with you that's giving feedback? Is that a family member?
That's Spirit.
Spirit? Is that the daughter, current wife? What's going on here? Sister?
That's Debbie, my significant other.
Oh, my gosh. And she's not a trophy.
And she is significant.
I mean, she's not like just a trophy. She's a human being.
She's more than that. She's got substance. She helps ground me.
did she know this one? I mean, she was saying that this woman was crazy, that she was psycho. Did she know her?
She knows it through my daughter. Those two haven't spoken to each other in over 5 years.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So Trump gets together with Melania. And what do you think is happening with them? I mean, have they ever, did they actually even create Barron? Do you think that is the biological child?
According to my friend Alexander, he told me he's the one that gave her that name Barron, because when he was taking pictures, he told her he was with Stephen Michaud and his young son, Barron. They're the only people that spell it with two R's.
Wait a minute. You indirectly influenced the name of Donald Trump's kid?
From the woman, yeah. And by the way, if you study the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, which I do, I named my son Baron Alexander Michette. You want a great story?
Yeah.
My son falls off the dinosaur in London, right? So he's 4 years old. I have Seal and Adembski at this time. So they find me over at the record label Universal, which was MCA. They find me over there, and they tell me that Baron fell off. What did they do? I said, take him to the children. My ex, his mother, she wants to go to the hospital. So I find out the hospital. So I leave MCA, which was in Hempstead, and I go down to King's Road, which is down in Chelsea. It wasn't far. And I get there before we go to the hospital, and they won't take my son. And my wife's looking at me, I don't know what to do. So I'm like, I do. And they tell me to go to the children's hospital. So I grab my son and I tell my daughter and my ex, then my current, meet me there. It's three blocks down the street. So I take Baron and I run in, and there's a line of people waiting, right? So I look at them and I go, I have Baron Alexander Michaud here. Where do I take him? They look at me and they go, upstairs, sir, upstairs. And they said, two more people are coming in. Send them upstairs. So we go upstairs. They take care of him, blah, blah, blah. They do all this. And then while they're taking care of him and they're examining him to see if he has a concussion or whatever, we sit down and they hand me the sheets and they want me to fill out who he is, you know? And I'm looking at it and she says, I'll do it for you, the nurse. I go, okay, do it here. She goes, what's his name? I go, Baron. She goes, no, what's his name? I go, Baron. She goes, no, really, what's his name? I go, and I caught on. It took three tries. I didn't strike out. I go, Alexander. And she goes, okay, Baron Alexander. And then I give him a shot. She goes, okay, we have young Baron here. They didn't bill me for the charge. They didn't do anything. They kept him there. They let him in because he had that epitaph.
Wow. I can't believe they named Trump's kid after your son. That's wild.
That's what my guy Ali told me. But it would make sense that she knows about barons because the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, that's what they were. They were the worst people of them all. They were the worst. You know, I don't know if you've seen my book, Colonization of Earth. That's another one. Taking Jesus Off the Cross. Have you seen that cover?
I wanted to ask you about that book because you said last time your mission is to take Jesus off the cross in life. That is the biggest mission you have. But first, yeah, well, let's go into that. What's going on with the cover?
Nothing. I got that cover from a church in the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. It makes me throw up. These people, they run around with their Christ killing more people than any religion put together. And, you know, you got the different crosses. You got the Eastern European cross versus the Vatican cross. And then you learn and you discover that the Germans honor the Pope as the supreme pontiff of Christ in Europe. So you realize that the Nazis were nothing but the Vatican instruments running around with the French, who have been killing for the Vatican for years. The United States got caught up in the Vietnam War because of the French and the Vatican. That was the stupidest war ever. And anyone that tells you they did it to stop communism had a sixth grade brain like I did. Because if you studied history, Vietnam and communist China or China have been at war for 3,000 years. The whole thing is insane. We had a Vietnam War so South Vietnam would be Catholic, be part of the IMF, as opposed to North Vietnam, which was Buddhist. So when I grew up, I was watching Buddhists be burnt on TV, listening to Jim Morrison sing Unknown Soldier.
Mm.
By the way, Rox, my artist, has been compared to a vocalist like Jim Morrison.
Yeah, we're going to put the link to Rox so people can hear it in the show notes for sure. You know what? I want to go back to the IMF for a second. Last time we also talked about conspiracy theory versus conspiracy realism. You called yourself a conspiracy realist. When people talk about the IMF, Stephen, they're often talking about the Bilderberg Group, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds. Where's your stance on the families in charge of everything?
Look at when we get off, put in your browser, Federal Reserve Cartel. I don't have to say anymore.
You believe it's that these families true. Are still running the world?
I don't believe it. I know it.
Now, how do you know that? Have you met a Rothschild?
Of course I did. You know, by the way, I'm a game player and they thought I was crazy or whatever. All I wanted to do was meet as many people as I could on my journey through life. And right now I sit here and I'm ready to be the elder to tell you, wake the fuck up. Look what they're doing. They print money and give it to the Federal Reserve. The United States government, prints money, gives it to the Federal Reserve. And then they tell you they control the Federal Reserve. Lies, lies, lies. The Saudi bank, they're involved in St. Louis. Those are the missing pages in the Obama report about 9/11 that he wouldn't disclose. A governor named Robert Graham, who was also a Senate, chaired that convention. I said to him, what was in those pages? He told me to buy a book called Keys to the Kingdom and then explain the whole thing. I mean, this money's all tied up. And what we do is we sit here. We're giving the Saudis money to kill the Shiites. And there's not one American really who understands what the Sunnis are and what the Shiites are. And this is a 1200 year war.
Oh, you know? Yeah. We're going to go into that 1200 year war. What are we missing about the mainstream narrative about the Sunnis and the Shiites?
And then you got the Wahhabis who are called the Saudis. They're the worst motherfuckers you'll ever meet. they behead people in the middle of their capital. And by the way, the Vatican's not much better because until King Emmanuel took over Italy when it became a country in 1870, the Vatican used to chop people's heads off in Vatican City. And in 1870, when Italy became a country, they shut the Vatican down. And then in 1929, when Mussolini was running the country and he needed Sky God to say it's okay to go kill Africans, he brought back the Vatican City. These people are evil, and they believe they're chosen to tell God, tell you what God wants you to do. And I'm a very simple man. You can speak to God without having someone intervene. God is all of us. Talk to God. That's the message in my book. I believe in Jesus, love. I don't believe in Christ. Christ is the devil. And they're fucking with us, to give it straight up to you. And it needs to stop. I sat in Israel and I gave a lecture about it. And those are what my books are about. And if any of your listeners want, they buy my book. I will answer questions through you, taking Jesus off the cross. And if they don't like my book, I'll give them twice the money back. This stuff people need to know. Yeah. And it's just been hidden for 2,000 years. And when you understand that 2,000 years is maybe 80 generations, and all we are is we're a flesh in the eyes. And when you understand the truth, which is in my Opus 3, about reincarnation and ascension, this is the sacred knowledge that my school wants to teach people. And before I leave, I just want to give it to people. And when I finish this, God provided me with what may be the biggest act I've had in years, you know, because now I'm back in the music. I'm done. I've spent my whole life writing these books. I'm done. I mean, people are asking me if I'll run for governor in California when Newsom gets recalled.
I hope you do.
I'm thinking about it. We need a shakeup. We need, you see, I'm different than other people. I could teach you how to make money. I just don't like money. I don't like what it does. I don't need to buy stock in companies with little guys running around with their suit and ties, thinking they're masters of the universe. And they sit and lie and they steal and they cheat and they run a fixed game, you know? I don't believe in that. I believe in people giving you money, okay, buying into your company, not people buying a stock that you have of someone else's stock. That stock market should be closed down. None of the money goes into the companies. If it wants to go into the company, that's one thing. But sitting there selling shares and then gambling on futures and gambling, it's insane. It's absolutely insane, and it needs to stop.
So what would you tell someone right now that's saying, hey, Stephen, look, I don't know my path in life. I definitely am not sure I want to be a musician, but I want to make a mark on this world and I want to achieve something and I want to have a good life, which, you know, again, normally is money. People think good life in America means wealth and luxury. What is your idea of what kind of guidance would you give that young person?
It's what I tell people now, straight up. One, take care of your temple. Your body is your temple. Okay, you sit and you pray to a Father God, but you forgot Mother Earth. Your body comes from Mother Earth. It didn't come from Father God. And by the way, where is this Christian Father God or the Jewish Father God or Allah, right? Where is Father God in this age of the virus? We did this. We destroyed Mother Earth. So answering your question direct, I would tell people, honor your temple, your body. Keep it up. Learn how to breathe. Keep exercising. Because if you don't have health, you will never have wealth. Take care of your body. A. B. Don't get married to an overhead. Never put yourself in a situation where you can't afford to do anything. You don't need all the trimmings and trappings that they tell you you must have. Stay moderate. Do not get into an overhead. C, don't have to work for something you don't believe in. Learn what you want. Have times to experiment. Have times to explore. You don't know what you're going to become. But you know something? If you're married to an overhead, you'll never be what you could be because you're worried about the money. Fuck the money. Live, work, participate, join your community. Go exercise. Go play ball. Go play billiards. I'm just thinking of things. Whatever it is, go join a community. Go play your golf, whatever. Find what your common denominator is. Learn how to read. Learn how to study poetry. Go discover art. We live to create art. The word earth, E-A-R-T-H. Get rid of the E and an H. You're left with art. You have a heart. It's his, he heart, right? Heart, he art. That's where God lives. God is art. Listen to the art. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to become.
Do you think that's what these Wall Street guys are missing? They're missing art.
They're pricks. They sit and they lie. Yeah. There is no good Wall Street guy. He sits there telling you the stock's going to go up. If he knows it's going to go up, he's fixing it or he's lying to you. So he's hustling you to get it up. I'd rather go to a horse track and bet on the next pony. You know, they're liars. They're not good people. They're scam artists.
They'll Did you deal a lot of with agents, a lot of agents and people in the music industry? I imagine that that's a criticism, at least I hear that, oh, these guys are scums and they just want a percentage of your money. And
what does the stockbroker want?
The same thing. I mean, worse. Yeah,
and by the way, the people in the music industry or the film industry or your book published agent, they only get paid if you get paid. The stockbrokers get paid when you lose all your money or when you're making your money. When you buy in, they take a piece. When you sell, they get a piece.
True.
Now, if you lost your ass, they're still taking their commission. A bookie gets paid once. I think the stockbrokers are the lowest scum in the earth. I really do. And then they sit there and they tell you, oh, hedge fund, I'm going to help you with your money. That makes me sick. I have a friend who I helped her music career, and she's married to a guy in England. This guy is just a hustler. He's got public funds. And what he did is he bought a company in Germany when we were in England, had 30,000 employees. He fired them all 2 weeks before Christmas. And he saved $200,000 out of a company that had to pay these people anyway. And he saved $200,000 out of a $35 million profit. That's not good people.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't do stuff like that. I'd rather make you money. Let's go out there. Let's do whatever we want to do. Let's go create. Let's become number one. Let's be the greatest that we could be. Let's put it together. Let's put together a team and go make it happen.
What do you think is the difference between, let's speak very artistically for a second. What's the difference between an artist that makes it and an artist that doesn't?
Luck and talent.
Do you think there are a lot of talented artists out there that just never get seen? That
yes.
Interesting.
Each and every one of us are unique, special, and extraordinary in our own way. And you need to put together a team. If you have a dream, anyone listening to this, hear me. If you have a dream, you need a team to make it happen. You know? You need the four elements. You need the fire that will alchemize your idea. Oh. And it will make it into reality. And then you need a team to help you marshal in the walk, the path you so create.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, wow, this is, we're going all over the map, but this is great. Okay. So the family is.
By the way, 7 days of the week, ready?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So Sunday, the day of Christ, right? Christ is the sun god. Okay. His name is Ra. It's all bullshit. And my books tell you the truth. Monday is when you have that energy. Monday is named after the moon. That's where you lament. You know, you sort of figure out, okay, I've got the energy. What do I do with it? Listen where I'm going with this. Tuesday is named after Mars, and Mars is the red planet that has iron. Okay, and by the way, I give you the story of Mars. It's in my book, Colonization of Earth, The Making of Mankind. Everything they're doing in Mars right now is inside that book. And it's not that I know. I know where to ask the questions to get the answers. Because as you get older, you learn the questions when you keep looking. So Mars is iron. So now you got Sunday energy to Monday. You need to know what to do with it. And you need to have the strength to do it, iron, right? Then Wednesday is named after the planet Mercury, the messenger. Well, what's the message? What are you going to do with it? Then you go to Thursday, which is named after Jupiter. You have to have the knowledge to know what to do with it, right?
Yeah.
Then you go to Friday, which is named after Venus, which is the Sabbath for the Islam's Friday morning. Well, Venus is a morning star. They worship Venus because it's beautiful. They create the art. The Hebrews, now called Jews, and they're two different religions, they start their day of worship Friday night because it's desire, and they want you to be staying in so desire doesn't ruin your life. And then Saturday, the day of the Hebrew Sabbath, is named after Saturn, which is the day of wisdom. Those are your seven energies. You need the energy. You need to know what to do with it. You need to be physically strong enough to do it. You need to know your message. You need to have the knowledge. You need to make it beautiful and to temper your desire to make it more than it should be with the wisdom. Those are your seven elements. That's what I would tell people.
How did you get this understanding of the days of the week? Where did that come from?
I live all over the world. I see everything. And when I don't see, I'll find it next time.
Are you omniscient?
What do you mean?
You see everything. That's pretty, do you mean that spiritually, or do you mean it in a very, how do you mean it?
I mean, I see things. I look at things, like I'll look at the tree and I'll talk to a tree. You know, it's like, why are you so beautiful? I went to the Redwoods and last week. I was in the Redwoods. I couldn't get out of the forest. There was so much energy there. They were so big and so tall.
What happens when you talk to the tree? They talk back?
This energy there. You know, next time you're awake, go outside and stare at a tree. Just stare at it. You know, like you meditate. Just stare at it, right? You will see white energy coming off that tree. I promise you.
Yeah. Wow. You know, the other thing in your book, you do start talking. I started reading your book. It is fantastically entertaining, very insightful, very mind blowing.
Which one?
The colonization of Earth, Opus One, the colonization of Earth and the making of mankind. The Book of Earth, Opus One, a rock opera, which I love that it's written like an opera. I love the commentary. I love what I like about it is you give little mind blowing things. The thing about gold, I thought was fascinating. Why humans are obsessed with gold. I've never thought about that before. Can you go into that a little bit?
Oh, definitely. We are created by space invaders. You know, and anyone that doesn't want to acknowledge that, I'm like, okay, you're blind, you're sheep. There's nothing I could do to help you. Where did, you know, and you read in those books, where did these sites come from? You know, the Longyou Caves, Longyou Caves, discovered in China. They're over 300,000 years old. You think cavemen, like what they tell you we once were, did that? You know, in this book, I tell you the entire creation of mankind. Opus 2, I go further. I give you the creation of imperial religions and imperial governments. And I tell you how Jesus became Christ. And then I tell you what we're doing, you know, and how the Islamic religion was a response to Christ running the killers, running all over the Middle East, trying to kill everybody. So the Arabs created a religion to stop it. I give you the whole story. I give you the story of Confucius, of Buddha, you know, from its birth without any colors. I just tell naked truth. And then Opus 3, I teach you about physical death as the religions teach you. And then I teach you about reincarnation and I teach you about ascension. And that's my life mission, to get everyone to know what I knew instinctively. And it took me most of my life to do it. And now I have Debbie. Debbie's grounded me. She's helped me with the books. We've got our music act. And I'm going to go live and put out the best songs, put out the best movies. I'm just going to go create art. And if anyone wants to talk to me about truths, let's do it. I'm doing a movie with Climate Live people, which is Greta Thunberg, you know, her organization. And I'm teaching people. I'm Socrates. I'm teaching you to ask questions.
Yeah.
And ask the questions. You know, and don't look like there is nothing worse than the stockbrokers. They are slime. There's not an honest stockbroker anywhere in the world.
What do you think about these business tycoons that are in the mainstream? The Shark Tank guys, Kevin O'Leary, Mark Cuban. What do you think of them?
I mean, they do it as independents. They tell you how to make money, you know, and they came up with a great game. I don't like Mark Cuban and I don't dislike Mark Cuban. I respect him. I wouldn't mind owning the Dallas Mavericks or any ball club, but that wasn't my path. My path was to write this book. And I gave up a lot of what I could have done to write these books that you have. And I married them to music.
I was going to say, can you, it's a rock opera. I want to know what the music that goes with this is.
It's in the book. The book starts with a song called The Salty Dog. All hands on deck. We've run afloat. It's right in there. So if you like read it, the paragraphs, I mean, we can play a game. There's at least 85 songs in that book.
What? How would you know the tune?
Oh, because I live it. I've seriously worked. I know as much music as anyone you'll meet. And that's not a compliment. And that's not an ego. I live it. I breathe it.
Do you think you have an ego?
Who?
Do you think you have an ego? Do you think people would describe you as too proud?
I'm pretty humble. If you really know me, because I don't give a shit.
I love you. I love it. I love every second of this.
I mean, an ego is where you edge God out. Donald Trump has an ego. He's edged God out. And he's got all these people kissing the golden bull. It's like, the whole thing there, I can't believe. You know, maybe he had a couple of good policies. I don't think so. Helping the Saudis and making believe the Saudis are going to make peace with Israel. That's pretty bullshit. You know, it's amazing. The Saudis have not recognized Israel, but they get two countries to recognize Israel plus Sudan so we could give them weapons to go kill. It's insane. But Donald Trump believes he's God, you know? Okay, great. And people bow down to him. This guy should be charged for what he did on January 6th.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what it is about him. What is he, do you think it's all crap? He's just doing it because he wanted to The Apprentice to get not canceled by NBC? Or do you actually believe he thought he was going to change something in this country?
All he did is he came the prophet. You know, and it is what it is.
He became blinded by power.
I just can't believe that people don't see through his bullshit. You know, and they go to him because it's amazing, because if you study dictators, this is what they do. You know, I'm a different type of character. When I ran for the U.S. Senate before the two political parties teamed up to stop me, I'm a different type of character. I'd rather empower you. Because if I empower you, I've done something for the world. If I take away your power to kiss my feet, what do you do when I die? My whole goal is to empower everyone I speak to make you believe in yourself, to tell you you're beautiful, you're special, you're unique, and you are. If you learn how to smile, you become beautiful. If you sit with a frown, good luck.
Yeah. What do you tell people in this climate? I mean, you said at the beginning of this, you said everything's crap. Everything's terrible right now. We're in a tough situation. How would you get people that are stuck spiritually right now in this negative environment to have a smile?
I would teach them to exercise, do aerobics. I don't care what you do, and stop listening to the bullshit. You're going to get sick without a mask. If you go outside, go exercise, go into the sun, get your vitamin D. And by the way, vitamin D helps you. Stop drinking milk. Milk makes you sick. Your mother stops giving you milk when you're 3 years old. What the hell are we drinking cow milk for? Where did this come from?
That's a good question.
It's the most unhealthy thing you can put in your body. Then you're eating cereals. What the hell are you eating those cereals for? Where did the cereals come from? You know, you could eat a couple of them here or there. And I'm not... You know, the whole thing, it's just lies on lies. It's all about how much money they could get. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right. Physical health is going to lead to emotional and mental health.
And if you have that health, and if you put together a right team around you, you'll win. Teams win.
Yeah. That's very powerful. You know, I'm not even sure we touched on where we're going to leave last time. But last time we started saying, hey, you know, you said Stan Lee knew about it. Stan Lee knew about the Anunnaki. He knew about.
Of course he did.
Really? When did you and Stan Lee first talk about all that?
When I was working with him in the year 2000. We had a company together.
And he straight up told you, oh yeah, the Anunnaki came. Absolutely, I believe it.
By the way, if you Google it, you'll see it. It's all over. Everywhere you look, it's there.
Yeah, I know. You love Zachariah Sitchin. You like this guy.
I'm honored that he came before me because he helped clear my path. I never would have translated those cuneiforms. He did. I mean, this guy set the stage, and they're all over the place. They're everywhere for people to see. He's a special person, but there are a lot of special people. And there are a lot of people looking for the truth. Jesus did not die on that cross. Okay? And It's in my book. I give you the whole story. I tell you how he survived, what the game was, where he ended up. I give you the whole story.
Jesus is still here?
No, Jesus is dead.
Okay.
The body's dead. But he didn't die on that cross.
Interesting.
You should get the book.
Well, I have the first. I mean, I'm still making my way through the first one. But you mean the book about taking Jesus off the cross?
Yeah. Opus 2 is I give you the truth about Atlantis. I give you the truth about imperial governments and imperial religions. And I give you the truth about Jesus and what went on. And it's all there. But I'm selling them as separate, as if they're singles. So you can hear it. Because I'm giving away a lot of information and I overload people. But you know, you're going to read in this book, I give you the entire history of mankind. Like one of the greatest chapters after you get in there is the chapter on Alexander. That's a great chapter.
Alexander the Great?
Yeah, so it's Act 6.
He has some connection to this Anunnaki Jesus spiritual. Do you think it's all connected? The Romans knew about the Anunnaki?
They worshiped them. Like the tower, the Jupiter? Of course. They knew all this shit. So you're not that far in the book yet. You'll see the whole thing.
Yeah.
You have the demigods, right? The demigods. Alexander thought he was the demigod. Half Anunnaki. Or really Nephilim. They were called Nephilim, but the space invaders here were called Anunnakis, like the Apollo team on the moon.
You know, I wonder, at least the understanding we're given in this country when you grow up is that, oh, the Greeks came up with these gods because they wanted to understand nature. Then you start getting questioning religion and going, oh, yeah, well, of course, God is a construction of the mind made by people that are just hoping for meaning. How do you know that the Sumerian tablets are actually telling a truth versus just something people made up?
People couldn't make that up. And then when you read the tablets and you read about how they made the Ark of the Covenant, it's right in the book. You've got it now in your book. I tell you how the Egyptian pyramids were built. I'm not smarter than anybody else. You know, I found the books and they explain them real well, real well. You know, there's the tower. If you look at the Jupiter thing in Lebanon, look at that. That was built by the Anunnakis. All that stuff was. And if people don't want to believe me, okay, whatever. Good luck in your life. You'll be here again. You're reincarnating.
You're saying right now, if people don't buy into this, they're in trouble spiritually.
No, they're not in trouble. I don't know how many times I've reincarnated. You know,
that's good.
I don't know. I know I've been around, you know, and if you keep edging God out, you will not ascend. You are not God, and we live in physical bodies believing we're God. Well, we're not. And if we're really here to do what Jesus said to do, we would help each other. But we don't do that. No. You know, we can't give people $15 minimum wage. You know, and I look at the whole thing, it's all bullshit. We should give people a living wage to be part of the community, and then they could go get other work. Everyone should work for the community. You know, what is this nonsense? Everyone needs to have a meaning.
Is Stephen Machado a socialist?
What's that?
Are you a socialist?
I'm a lover of community. So, yes, I believe in socialism.
That's controversial, too.
To say these days,
anyone that thinks it's controversial is someone that doesn't know God. You telling me that you can't go help your neighbor? What is that about? In this country, we say we're Christians. How could you not help your neighbor?
But do you think it should be government imposed? Do you think that people that are rich should be taxed and give to the community?
No. That's up to them. I believe.
Okay, so you still believe in freedom, personal freedom with finances.
Yeah, if you can make money and you want to be a selfish pig, keep it. But I believe the government prints money. There is no money. We print it. And we give it to the Federal Reserve to authenticate it. I believe that we could sit there every year and create a budget and play Monopoly. The guy that made Monopoly was anti-Federal Reserve.
Who was that?
He did it in the 1920s. I don't know his name offhand, but it's a Milton Bradley game.
Yeah.
You could look it up. That game is the anti-Federal Reserve. You go around, go. Every year, you get $200.
If you That's get a good point.
Cash, you don't get it.
I love that you just have these. Yeah, you really do have knowledge about just every random thing and how it all connects. I mean, I guess it's not random.
But everything is everything. There's nothing independent.
Do you, what about, okay. We didn't talk about this last time, and I feel like it's key to get into. What about we talked about Michael Jackson, but what about the Jeffrey Epsteins of the world?
Okay, no one wants to critically analyze this either. Jeffrey Epstein was with a woman from England, whatever her name was, Maxwell.
Yeah.
Okay, Ghislaine. In England, in the 1990s, they had tax havens all over the place. Well, how do you get a tax haven? Well, Jeffrey Epstein, besides liking girls and whatever other sickness he had, he was playing with all the tax havens. Look at him. He had a place in the Caribbean. Why was Bill Clinton on those planes? He was hiding money. Why were any of these people there? To get money. Do I think Bill Clinton played with little girls? I don't know. Do I think Donald Trump did? No, Donald Trump only plays with Donald Trump. You know, They're sick. I don't know why anyone would hang out with him. I knew Prince Andrew sort of well for a little while. I said to his face, how could you hang out with that piece of shit?
What did he say?
He told me, it's in my book, Gods and Gangsters. You know, he helped my wife, Sarah. I'm like, I just can't believe you were with him. I can't believe it. Why would you be so stupid? I said it to him too.
So,
once, okay. But if you see something really sick going on, unless you're sick, you know, I believe people that sit there molesting young girls, they're sick.
Was that happening in Hollywood when you were spending time over there or in the music industry? There's always
of course it was.
Interesting. What about satanic rituals? That's what the alt-right wants you to believe is happening in Hollywood.
Of course they are. And the alt-right, they're part of it too. You go to church, you sit there, and you're told, hocus pocus, drinking this blood, drinking the red wine, and eating the wafer, hocus pocus, you've now eaten the flesh and blood of Jesus, and now you're Christ, you're sitting with Christ. That's cannibalism.
But don't you think there's a difference between eating symbolic body parts and
actually? No. Look how what they're doing. Why would you do that? Why didn't they teach you how to meditate? You want to go be with God? Meditate. Talk to your heart. These people are sick. They drink blood. I know they did it. I had Ozzy Osbourne. That was one of the worst things I ever did in my life. And then it happened to me one more time with Young Lean. He was worshiping the devil in my place, and my son flipped out, and I was in New York. I would have killed him. Instead, my son's dead. They sat there, and they brought the devil in. And whether you believe in the devil or you don't believe in the devil, something's going wrong where people would sit with guns and run around the United States Congress like that. That's screwed up. That's the devil at work. And remember, God is everything. And if you don't know God, if you don't see God in all, then you don't know God at all. And God's goal, if I could speak for God, is sure. He would like us all to learn how to work together.
Yeah. How do you feel?
What?
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, how do you feel that you are by sharing these books with the world that's going to move us towards working together?
I'm just giving you the facts, nothing but the facts. Then it's on you. I can't tell you what to do. I had one guy in my car yesterday picking me up that I know when we got off the airplane. He says, your books are complicated. I'm like, no, it's uncomplicating life. Life is complicated. You sit here and you can't survive in the land of good and plenty. It's like, it's insane what we do. Absolutely insane.
I want to go back to Ozzy Osbourne. Wait a minute. What sick ritual did you see him do?
More than one. I saw him worship the devil. It's in my book. It's in my book, the Oz book that I just put out. The Creation of Oz.
I love this. The Creation of Ozzy from the Altars of His Black Sabbath. And it has the Wizard of Oz. Ozzy Osbourne as the Flying Monkey and Sharon as the Wicked Witch of the West.
Look at the back cover.
Oh, wait, what's happening on the back cover? Wait a minute. I don't know if I can see it here.
I show you a painting of a Druid ceremony.
Was Ozzy involved with the Druids? He's connected to that?
That's part of the English history. And I give that to you too.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is the Black Sabbath thing, the whole idea of Black Sabbath.
Okay, take the word Black Sabbath.
I mean, it's dark. It's anti-Christ, really. I mean, it literally is.
No, it's anti-Jesus. It may be Christ. Jesus is Antichrist.
Oh, what? Interesting. So you think Satan and our ideas of Jesus are pretty much on the same wavelength?
No. I believe Jesus is love, and I believe Jesus is a representative of righteousness from a higher plateau. I believe Christ is nothing but the Roman Empire's creation, where they just killed people nonstop if you didn't believe and if you didn't behave. I think the Vatican is nothing but the devil. And what they do is they have these good people around the world who sit and believe everything the Vatican tells them. That's the outer order. Then they have the inner order called the Vatican, and what the Vatican does is they control the outer order while they just sit and do what they're doing, and then there's a core that tells the Vatican what to do. And that core runs our world.
What do you think? What's the Vatican hiding? What's the Vatican hiding?
The truth. There's no Christ. None.
What? Wait, that's a huge revelation. You're saying that what? They know that. You think all those popes, all those people at the Vatican that are there, even Pope Francis is sitting around going, yeah, we kind of know this thing didn't happen.
Not kind of. They have all the books. Everything I wrote, they know.
Why are they pretending?
Because they control you. And they don't think you have the capabilities of controlling yourself.
Is there, when you look at American society today, for someone listening right now, what is proof that they can look around and say, yeah, this is the Vatican. They're in my daily life.
Everywhere you go, look what they do. The Vatican. Why would we give a shit what that asshole in Rome says? Oh, because he speaks to God for us. Which God? The God that created you or the God they want you to believe in? Everything. Look at our wars. Why do we hate Russia? Well, Russia's anti-Vatican. Russia has their own pope. It's called the Eastern Orthodox Church. Why do we hate Islam? Because they don't believe in the Vatican. Why do we hate Jews? Because they were the Christ killers. I mean, excuse me, the Jews, if they killed Jesus under that lie, those Jews are the heroes of the world. Because if they didn't kill him, there'd be no Christ. All bullshit.
All of it?
All of it. Do you know how they created the Catholic religion? In 325 AD, they got together in a place called Nicaea. You could look up everything I'm telling you. And the bishops got together with Constantine, standing over them, telling them, you need to give me a religion, and this will become the religion of this Rome. And I will be the emperor, and I will have a father be the representative with God. But that father understands I'm boss. Look at the Holy Roman Empire. I could go on and on, but we should do stop this because I'm overloading you and all you listeners.
No, I was going to say, this is so good. You might have to be the recurring guest of this show. I mean, I have a few, but you're definitely, look, would you come back and keep going into this even more?
If you read more of that book, I'll help explain it to you.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to read it. I'm going to read the book. I'm going to look have more into it.
You haven't even gotten, you're probably on the beginning. I teach you the entire Inca race. I teach you how they raised their people. I've got stuff in there no one's ever read.
Well, you know what the thing that intrigued me was? What is in the Dome of the Rock? I think I just got to that where you were talking about, why are they keeping that thing hidden? What is going on in there? Can you tell us right now, what is going on in that? Why is it off limits?
Which rock?
The one in Israel, right in the center of Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock, that is forbidden. You can't go see it.
If you're Islamic, you can.
Right, right. But why
and
is
by
it
the way,
protected?
What did I get into a fight with them? Because I tried to get in and they told me I wasn't a Muslim. I go, how do you know? And they go, well, because you're American. I'm like, well, how do you know that? Well, I said, how do you know? How do you know God's not telling me that I should go in there right now and pray? They didn't know what to say to me. They had their army men come. It was a whole scene, and I've got pictures of it. And then what I did is I sat in the corner, and I started meditating. And what happened was two soldiers came, and one of them kicked my shoe, and he told me, I have to get out. I go, really? He goes, there's no praying here. I go, I'm not praying. He goes, you're praying. I said, I'm not praying. He says, we know you're praying, and he has a gun. So I said, I'm talking to God. Do you mind? You're not talking to God. I go, how do you know? I said, you better be careful. I'm sitting talking to God. These people didn't know what to do.
So wait a minute. You don't. So do we know what the Dome of the Rock is?
The Dome of the Rock? It is what it is. There's nothing. You just go in there. It's a mosque.
So wait a minute. There's nothing special. They're hiding in there. They're just blocking you from going in for some reason.
You're asking me a different question, if I may help you. What's under the Dome of the Rock?
Ah, okay. Yeah.
That's what you're asking me.
That's what really I'm asking.
What was inside the Second Temple of Jerusalem? They think the Ark of the Covenant was in there. It wasn't. You're going to read that in chapter 5 about Abraham. I tell you the Ark of the Covenant with Moses. It's in the Moses chapter right after Abraham.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to do some more digging in. This is great. We have Stephen Michaud at StephenEMichaud.com. And hey, it looks like School of Sacred Knowledge.com is under construction right now. You're reworking it?
Yeah, it will be up a month. I made it much more simpler. It will be done in a day or two at the latest.
Oh, but
go to my site, get my books. Through you, they could talk to me, whatever.
And yeah, you know what? Maybe we should do a call-in show next time and get some people on asking questions.
You could do that too, and I'll put your show up in my School of Sacred Knowledge. You could be my interviewer.
I'd love it. I'd love it. Hey, I am such a fan of your work, such a fan of your mission, such a fan of you. If Debbie's over there, thank you for encouraging this. Yeah, I mean, I love it, Steven. I thank you so much for coming on. And also, check out Rock's Revolt and the Velvet King Revolt on YouTube. And we'll link to that as well. Steven.
By the way, her video?
Yeah, what?
Her video is they're playing with tarot cards.
Do you think that stuff is satanic at all? Tarot, New Age?
I don't think it's anything other than the energy you put into it.
That is a great note to leave everybody on. Thank you so much for coming on again, Stephen. We'll talk soon.
And thank you. And keep in touch.
Absolutely. And good night. Hey, have a good night. Stephen. You know his last name. Nah. We'll thank him properly. Stephen Michaud, such a great guy. Go to StephenEMichaud.com to check out his stuff. As well as, if you really want to go deep down the rabbit hole, check out his website where he teaches it all, theschoolofsacredknowledge.com. I want to thank Ronnie McGilvery for the theme music. I want to thank Zero Boy for the pre-theme music. And I want to thank Bumbles the Monkey for your interior decoration skills. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We have more fun stuff coming up. Take care.